Well, hello. We are so glad you're joining us today. My name is Jason.
And I'm Trey.
And we're excited about what God is doing here at Northwoods. And if you are new here, I would love for you to text the word new to the number that's on the screen right now. And we'd love to connect with you. A pastor would love to talk to you about what brought you to Northwoods and just get to know you a little better. So just text that number right there, the word new.
And if you've been here for a little while, you probably know what I'm gonna say next. We've got something special for you too. Please fill out the connection card. You can find that in your Northwoods app, and I think there's even a place online you can go ahead and do that as well too. Yeah. Let us know where you're joining in. If you're watching with us right now, there's probably a good chance you're joining us online. So tell us what service you're joining us at and then that you're joining online. And again, that'll get you connected with a real person.
Yeah, and you can actually get prayer through that as well. If you just click that you need prayer, you can put in your prayer request there, and you can actually get prayer right now in our chat. So you can go over there and say, hey, I'd like to pray with somebody, and somebody will pray with you right now or throughout the service.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a great service to be at, okay? Because we are getting ready to kick off our March series. Yes. Cal's kind of called this, you know, his Before I Go series, all right? So he's got a few things that he's gonna be talking to us about in his final series as our founding senior, well, as our senior pastor. He'll always be our founding senior pastor. So you'll wanna make sure that you're being connected and you're paying attention to a lot of things we have coming up. One of the things you can find out about is we've got open houses happening throughout the month on Fridays. Meet and greets. You can see the man himself, Pastor Cal. You can find out about all types of things that we have happening by checking out our app or our mailers or some of those other things, right?
And I know the meet and greets, Pastor Cal is excited to get to just talk with everybody and really meet with you and connect with you before and greet you before he is off to the next chapter. But he's not actually gonna be leaving us. We're still gonna get to hear from him here and there. And it's just a great time to honor our founding pastor. What a great honor it's been for 32 years to have him leading this church. And so we're excited about what God's doing, and it is time to get connected with worship. Northwood starts right now.
Church, why don't you stand to your feet? We're ready to worship the Lord. Now, if you're visiting, we need to let you know a couple things. We're going to be doing celebration of Pastor Cal this whole month. And so, this weekend, we're taking you back to the 90s, the kind of worship we were doing back then. So, you may not know it, but join in if you do. It's going to take you back. Here we go.
I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Sing it again. We say,
yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, that his joy is gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, the joy comes in the morning.
I'm trading my sorrow.
Yeah.
Joy of the Lord.
Thank you for your joy.
amen. Let's make a joyful noise. We sing la 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 la. Oh la 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 la. Oh la 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 la. Give Him praise. He has been good.
Church, I know Kirk already mentioned we're taking a little bit of a nostalgic trip here in worship this morning. And I know back in the 90s, everybody in here, we all have a different story. We all have a different journey. Some of you have been here all along the way since the very beginning. Some of you may not have known Jesus back then. Some of us might have been worshiping other places. But, you know, as I was putting some of this music together, it was just such a sweet time for me personally to be able to go back and kind of revisit some of the songs that truly I feel like taught me how to worship. You know, they taught me about who God was. They gave me a love for music and a love for Him. And so this morning we're going to pack a lot in here to these next 4 or 5 minutes. A lot of songs that some of you are going to maybe think, I haven't thought of that song in 20 years. But I hope that it takes you back to that sweet place with the Lord of where you were worshiping Him, whatever was happening for you back then. If you don't know these songs, I really think there are just some sweet truths that can be fresh for you that you can let just kind of be your heart cry to the Lord this morning. So we're going to have fun. We're going to worship the Lord. Let's sing together. Now is There's no one as mighty and powerful as you. There's no one else who died and rose again. There's no one else who loves us like you do. And so we're grateful, God, and we worship you today in this place. And we bless the name of Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Church, you can go ahead and be seated.
I just think about that. It all started at Northwoods in the Christian Center.
My cousin invited me to church, and it was being held at Notre Dame High School on the weekend and the Christian Center during the week.
It was really a different experience, and there was just such an energy. The whole, you know, the musical thing and him just speaking like he was sitting down talking to you across the table and explaining to you what's going on.
That whole service, it was as if he was looking right into my eyes, like nobody else's, like he was talking right to me. People say, when did you come to Christ? I go, I don't think I ever came to him. He came to me. You know, it was one of those things. And I actually think he came to me through Cal.
Cal was a pastor that the rubber meets the road. He just had that ability to tell stories and the ability to translate the Bible into, hey, how do we get up in the morning and how do we walk with Jesus?
And so the first time we were there, Cal was talking and connecting and nothing like I had ever seen. You know, I'm thankful for my upbringing. My mother and father were great. I just didn't get it.
For me, I understood what was being said at Northwoods about accepting Christ as your savior. Like I understood it up here, I didn't get it in here because I had come from so much abuse. And so in order to let Christ come that close to me, I was very afraid.
I was suffering from anxiety at the time and I was seeing a counselor. And the things I was hearing at Northwoods were the concept of actually having Christ living within you, which was something that had never occurred to me or been told to me.
I'll never forget, I was struggling with that and I was asking Cal a lot of questions and he just pulled out this piece of paper and he drew me an illustration and gave me some verses. And I've kept that and I've used that illustration in talking with people. And I thanked him for changing my life. He said it was the Holy Spirit that changed your life. I was just there to help. And I think it was that day that the Holy Spirit maybe came alive a little bit in me, that it felt real.
I knew more people more quickly at Northwoods than I'd ever known at other churches. But at Northwoods, you become the church.
That was a milestone for me, just to be involved in a church and just the relationships were huge to have the opportunity to be around like-minded people and to live our faith out.
Thank you for following what God placed in your heart to do and to come here to Peoria and start this church.
Probably wouldn't be a follower of Christ were it not for you.
I can't imagine, I can literally not imagine where I'd be had I not gone into the Christian Center that day and not been loved by people who didn't know me.
Thank you for allowing God to use you at Northwoods, and there's countless lives that have been changed.
Because I'm one of the people that benefited from it.
Hey, church, let us stand together as we continue to worship the Lord. Let's sing it out. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. Every voice you say, you're all I want. You're all
you're all I want. Cause you're all. shout to the Lord.
Shout to the Lord.
All the earth, let us sing.
Yes, God, we praise you.
If we were silent, the very stones would cry out, would shout your praise. And we today say, we won't stay silent. We bless you. Hear your church say that you're worthy, Jesus, now and forever. God, hear us say, we love you, that we celebrate you, Jesus, that we honor you. You just tell him right now, just take this moment again. Just tell him. Say, Jesus, I love you. You are the one we honor, and we thank you for your presence in our midst. We say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, Northwoods, you can go ahead and be seated. Welcome, 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 and I hope you enjoyed the little reminiscing back into the 90s. I wasn't even born when some of those songs were written, but they were fun. They were fun. I did grow up with some of them. So today, I need to tell you about March, but before I do, the usual I need to touch real quick. If you're brand new here to Northwoods, new here today, maybe this is your first time, we want to meet you. So, pull out your phone if you're brand new and text NEW, N-E-W, to the number on the screen. That'll get you connected with one of our pastors here, and that'll hopefully get you connected to the larger church body. Now, the rest of you, I think you guys know the drill. What do you think I'm going to say? Connection card. Yes, that's right. It's a good job. Fill out the connection card, and then remember, if you're giving today, you can give it the drop boxes at the back of the auditorium. You can give online, by mail, or by text, however you want to do it. But we also want to take this moment to say again, thank you for your continued giving, because it's your faithful giving that allows all the ministry that happens at Northwoods to happen. All the 32 years of ministry, your faithful giving has helped all that to happen. All right? Now, the month of March. You guys know this is a special month, okay? This is actually the last series that our founding pastor is going to preach before he and my mom have some fun traveling and getting some well-deserved rest over the next 9 months. So you do not want to miss it, because he's going to bring all his usual fire and passion and energy to every single Sunday. But we've also got some special events planned this month. We mentioned last Sunday that we have open houses during the month of March for you to share a personal moment with Pastor Cal and his wife, Susan. So if you haven't been to an open house yet, there's two more left, March 11th and March 18th here on the Peoria campus at 6 p.m. And you do need to sign up for those. So sign up. You'll get a special moment to tell Pastor Cal how much his ministry has meant to you tell him thank you, all right? And then we're also going to throw a special party for my mom, Susan, because she also has just given herself to pouring into kids over the last 32 years, serving in Discovery Land. So if your kids, your children have been blessed by her, we got a special party here again on the Peoria campus on Sunday, March 13th at 2 p.m. And I'm telling you what, she would love nothing more than to hear from your kids how blessed they've been by her. So bring your kids, bring your family to that to celebrate my mom, Susan. And then do not forget the last two Sundays of this month. So March 20th and March 27th, I know I'm throwing a lot of dates at you, March 20th and 27th, we're only having one 10 a.m. service both of those Sundays. Okay, so if you show up at 9, you'll have an hour to wait. If you show up at 11, you've basically missed it. Okay, so be here at 10. March 20th is going to be John's official commissioning as senior pastor. And then March 27th, we're going to blow the roof off of this place as we celebrate and honor our founding senior pastor, my dad, Pastor Cal. All right, so that's all that's going on in the month of March. Now, I need to welcome up my brother, Pastor John. He's got another special announcement for you guys.
Thank you, my brother. You know, he's talking about reminiscing, and I was thinking back, you know, I was 2 years old when this church started, and I still have some vague memories of the Christian Center, you know, in our children's ministry. You know, if you have children, we are blessed today because you actually have rooms with walls. Back in the day, we had plastic sheeting for walls in our children's ministry, and I can still remember being in those rooms and actually crawling under the plastic sheeting. It's right. You could be 3-year-old room. You just crawl around back there. You're hanging out with the fourth graders. It was amazing. But yeah, so lots of memories as we look back. But I want to take a moment. We're kind of looking back, reflecting on all that God's done. But I want to take just a moment this morning, and we want to look ahead. Because one of the things Pastor Cal's done a great job with over the years is setting the vision for this church. The vision really puts the feet on the mission and directs us where we're going. And you know that our vision here at Northwoods, our long-range vision, is to see every chair in this auditorium represent a church planted somewhere around the world. But we also want to see 20 churches planted locally by 2030. And so we've, you know, the surge, everything that's been happening with churches been planting globally, been amazing. That's rolling. But if we're going to hit 20 churches by 2030 locally, we got to get moving on that. We've planted 2. And so to help us with that, we have a few friends, basically they're partners in ministry, who are going to come and help us for the next year or two. And so I want to welcome up, just so you can see them, Jay and Shelley Nicholas. You can give it up for them. Yeah, you come on up here. And they're actually going to be moving to Peoria. And so I want to pray with them. We're going to pray with you guys today about finding a place, but you're going to begin to see more of them around Northwoods. They're going to be involved in our church here, and Jay's really going to begin to help us get the ball moving down the field with planting churches locally. He's done that all of his life, not all of his life, but for a good portion of his life, coaching church planters. He actually helped with our very first church plant. He helped Craig's son, Pastor Tanner Smith. And so we are really looking forward to all that you guys are going to do here. And so just wanted you to kind of see them, know who they are. You begin to see them even more. But let's just pray for them real quick, church, as they're continuing to look for a place here in Peoria and all that God's going to do through them. So, Lord, we just thank you for Jay and for Shelley. We thank you for the connection that we've had with them as a church. And so, Lord, we just pray in the days ahead that you would supernaturally provide every need that they have, Lord, that whether that's a home, finding a place to stay, everything that they need, Lord, I thank you for the provision you're going to provide. We believe this is your will, Lord, that you have told us to plant churches. And I love what my dad says, that if it's God's will, it's his bill too. And so I thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. We pray blessing over them. I pray you'd continue to give Jay insight as he identifies people, as he identifies locations. We just pray for all of that, Lord. We lift them up to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Give it up for Jay and Shelley. Again, we're looking forward. Moving all the way from Kansas to Peoria. So again, that's looking ahead. at our vision. But now, for a moment, I want to direct your attention to the screens, and let's look back at some of what God's done at Northwoods.
Many people probably don't understand that the genesis of Northwoods began long before 1990. The president was leaving our denomination. The incoming president sat down with me and said, "Hey, we got this new thing starting out in Peoria. You've heard about it. We got a couple problems. We don't have a pastor and we don't have a place to meet, but we think you could answer those for us, you know." So
I would like to invite you to our new church service held at the Christian Center on War Memorial Drive
on March 25th at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's the way our church began 10 years ago, as John and Susie Cheney used a unique Phones for You campaign to invite unchurched people to Northwoods Community Church.
Our task as the creative arts would choose stuff that would fit right where you're going, and we would choose a drama
and then do a drama
right where you're going.
Yeah, the drama team.
The drama team, and they did some phenomenal. Kurt,
we had people that were saved through dramas.
Oh, sure, that's right.
Interested in attending church, but don't want to sit through traditional dialogue and hymns. Well, here's a new approach that adds music, drama, and humor to religion. Northwoods Community Church is waking up worshipers with entertainment.
So we always said our weekend was really a Billy Graham crusade at a permanent address, so that there was just this thing, go get your friends who don't know Christ yet.
Probably like many people at Northwoods, I mean, we ultimately got invited. So I told my wife, I said, we're going to come back here. We came back a few more times, got to hear you preach, and we said, this is the place for us.
Here on the ground God has given us, we will join him in building his church.
We just lived with this confirmation that he's doing this. We're doing our best not to mess it up, and we're not getting all of our decisions right, maybe. But boy, and some of those bigger decisions, you know, when I think of buying the land, and God gave us favor with Mr. Allen. I don't know if you guys remember, he was very close to death. And he told his kids, I want this to go to Northwoods. And I want us to get it done before the end of the year for tax purposes. So we had all of like 8 weeks to raise the money. I've told the story before. A guy who had never even been here had heard about us and told one of our guys, have Cal give me a call. He said, how close are you? I said, I'm $15,000 short. He said, I'll send the $15,000 over. And he did. And the next day we closed at $135,000. I just go, only God. I'll never forget when we were thinking, we've got this interim, we've bought the land, we're not ready to build yet, but we're outgrowing Notre Dame. So we're looking for an interim, and we find this building that's just an empty truck dock.
At the north edge of Peoria, in a most unlikely building,
we call it the nicest truck dock in town,
you'll find one of the 100 fastest growing churches in the country.
Greg, you were probably in the room the night that we wanted to buy that last 18 acres, and we had it.
I was, and that was one of the first official meetings I was at, Cal.
We were basically asking God to give us another one of those signs, that if we felt we were to have it, if we were to have it, he needed to do some significant work. I go, it still remains one of the most incredible miracles that I've ever seen. When I got into the building the very next morning, Steve Schaefer had received a call from the developer. He couldn't sleep. He's out driving around. And he says, you guys are supposed to have that land. But where do you
get the money?
Totally out of the blue. A businessman who'd come to Christ here sent me a check. I remember I was out walking on the property praying, and I just had this envelope that had come from him and opened it up, and $300,000. When we came in 1990, it was all about reaching the baby boomer. Well, the baby boomers were born between 1946 and 1964. I'm grateful for every one of those we reach today, but that's not our focus. So I want to say to the younger generation, your focus is on those who were born after 1990 right now. I say, yes, pursue Jesus and walk in love. And at the end of the day, never forget who he's sending you to, and that is lost people who need to be found.
Well, wow.
Great to see you guys today, and welcome to our online family, our other campuses. We head into this new series called Getting Ready for Next, which will be my last series as the senior pastor of Northwoods Community Church. I just want to say, as I'm looking back at some of that, it was not my idea to get that short haircut. I looked at them and said, I look like a skinned rat. That were my how did I let my daughters talk me into that haircut? But whatever. Since my first Sunday on March 25th, 1990, I've been leading this church. I've been doing a lot of calculating over the last few weeks, but I've been leading this church now for 1,661 weekends. It'll officially be 1,664 when I walk out the door in a couple of weeks. So multiply 32 years by 52 Sundays, you get 1,664. So that if I was not here preaching, I was still here caring about what was being preached, putting together the series, all of that type of thing. 1,664 times. I was trying to add up how many messages I've preached over the course of that time. And it comes out to around a conservative estimate of 3,200 weekend messages here at Northwoods. Incidentally, I tried to count up how many people I've spoken to at Northwoods on just weekends alone, and that comes out to 3,500,000. Some of you are going, I feel like I've heard you that many times, Cal, you know. Now, I add to those 3,200, and I've been conservative on this count. I was pretty well able to count that up from the weekends. It's just that I didn't count when I wasn't here. There were a lot of times I was preaching elsewhere. So that's not in the count. That's just 3,200 at Northwoods. I added another 400 midweek messages because we had 18 years of midweeks, and I did a real conservative estimate on that, how many times I spoke, plus 300 at my former church before I came here, plus outside speaking engagements. But let's just say I'm well over 4,000 messages. That means if I had preached one message per weekend, like most small church pastors do, if I preached one message per weekend, 50 Sundays per year, I've been preaching for 80 years worth of weekends now. And I didn't start preaching till I was 26. So guys, when people say, well, you're only 63, you're so young, you're leaving. Listen, I may be 63, but I'm 106 in preaching weekends, all right? And then I calculated, you know, I'm not one of those that would just do the half hour. You know, I'm a 45 minute thereabouts guy, right? So I was calculated, how long have I been talking to do that many messages? And if I were to go 9 to 5, 8 hours a day preaching, it would take me 375 days, 8 hours straight, to get to where I am today. So I'm just glad at 63, I still have a voice that works. But again, if you're wondering why I'm stepping aside from my senior pastor role when I'm still so young, just always remember, at 63, I'm 106, okay? And that doesn't include developing Bible studies, video and online devotionals, speaking at Freedom Seminars, Christmas productions, weddings, funerals, I've counted those up as well. Pastors training events, all the places that I've traveled. Israel tours and other community events while also being involved, conservative estimate, in at least 1,500 staff meetings, over 900 elder and leadership meetings, conducting 2,500 to 3,000 ministry appointments easily. And then, guys, I want to thank you. I said, well, let's look at what we've taken in offerings and stewardship campaigns. We're somewhere between $170 and $180 million that we've had to budget and steward over the last 32 years. I say all this, to God be the glory, but I'm just glad I'm still standing today, you know? But transitions come whether we like them or not. You just need to think that every day is a transition. You can never have that last day back. Every season is a reminder that we are transitioning through time. Every new year is a reminder. Can't have the last year back. So all of us are moving through transitions. And this month is about my transition from this role. Not from my call, but from this role. I also want to remind you, we're not observing my funeral. I am planning to run hard for the kingdom as long as the Lord allows me to be effective for him. It's just that when I came here as a 31-year-old, you heard me reference this in the video a moment ago. When I came here in 1990, 31 years old, all we talked about was reaching the baby boomers. Those born before between 1946 and 1964. In 1990, those folks were between 26 and 44 years of age. And we did a pretty good job of reaching them. Today, that segment is between 56 and 74 years of age. And while we still care about reaching people in every age group, today our focus needs to be on reaching the current generation that is between the ages of 26 and 44. And that takes a voice from that generation who both understands and can speak to the unique challenges of that generation today. And I couldn't be more excited now that God has put his hand upon my son John and appointed him to lead us in this next season. Yeah, and we're going to be celebrating him. So my job at this point is shifting from being primarily on the front lines to that of supporting, coaching, and being a father to a younger generation who needs to take their place on the front line today. But understand, John still plans to have me preach now and then along the way, and while Susan and I will be stepping away for the next 9 months, our coach through this transition said, Cal, you've been the founding pastor, you're 32 years with it. There's a lot of people who have never known you to be other than their pastor, but in order for John to become the pastor, you need to leave. And so we are going to leave for at least 9 months, and then we'll be back to resume some kind of ministry at Northwoods going forward in 2023. That said, while transitions are a normal part of life, they're not easy for any of us. Man, I think of when I dropped my daughter Catherine off at college. You know, she was always the first one for every transition, right? That happened in 2004, and we still kid her about, she let us know that she was ready for us to leave. I drove home mad half the way. But then hearing a song from the Oak Ridge Boys about the eagle nudging its little one out of the nest and that they don't learn to fly until we let them go. Man, I was a mess the rest of the way. As I was reminded, it's transition time. When I dropped my son John off at Toccoa Falls, I know he remembers. I think we both nearly died. And I was depressed for several weeks. And then it was Victoria. All of them have their story. And then Nathan, when I left him halfway around the world and had to fly home from Hillsong over in Australia. Each transition reminded me that I was getting older and time was moving on, and then empty nest, and then selling our home and downsizing last March, and then downsizing to a smaller office as I prepared to leave my senior role at Northwoods. None of that was easy, and each transition felt a little bit like a small death. Like saying goodbye to something you can never have back. September of 2018, the elder team and I were up at Miracle Camp in Lawton, Michigan for our annual elder retreat, and we had brought in an outside coach to help us think about transition. No one was putting pressure on me to leave anytime soon. I was 59 at that time. My elders were like, Cal, you can stay as long as you want, but we knew it was at least time to start thinking about and planning for transition. And I had gone into that time thinking, well, you know, if I stay until I'm 71, I'll have put in 40 years at Northwoods, and another 5 at my last place, and all I've been doing for the past 50-some years is either preparing for or leading ministry, you know. But I didn't think I could run as hard as I would need to, at least to lead a church like Northwoods. I didn't think 71 was the place. I already knew something was shifting in my heart. Guys, you need to know there is a weight you carry as the senior pastor of a church that no one will understand who hasn't done it. And the larger the church and the staff, the heavier the weight. When I was 30, 40, 50, I loved carrying that weight and couldn't imagine ever handing it off to someone else. But somewhere in my late 50s, things began to shift. And I began to ask myself how much longer I wanted to or even could effectively carry that weight. So I figured 71 was out of the question, but then I thought, well, maybe go until you're 66. That would be 35 years at Northwoods, 5 years at my first church in Grable, 40 years all told in the driver's seat. So that's what I was thinking as I headed to camp for our elder retreat. But then as the transition coach we had brought in for the retreat, Will Heath, began to teach us about transition. He spoke of Moses' transition as God led him up the Pisgah mountain range. It's part of the range of mountains across the Jordan River from Israel, which is part of the country of Jordan today. Just 2.5 months earlier, I had stood on Mount Nebo, if we can bring that picture up, and you can see down there on the far end, the Dead Sea down below. I had stood on Mount Nebo. It's part of the Pisgah range. This is where God took Moses to show him the promised land, and Moses died here on top of this mountain. Tears were flowing down most of the faces in the group that day as we considered the fact that all of us will one day be forced to make our own transitions, and that in all likelihood, we, like Moses, will transition with some dreams left unfulfilled, prayers not yet answered. Even though I didn't know then how near my transition was, I wept as I realized that I too would one day lay down the leadership mantle with some prayers unanswered, some dreams unfulfilled, and it would likely be the successor who would get to realize some of those dreams that you only saw from a distance. Now here I was in the room at Miracle Camp just a few months later, and Will was talking about how Pisgah represents a shift, not an end. How the road to Pisgah is emotional. How it requires the leader to consider the people rather than himself. How it forces the leader to consider his successor. By the way, Will has since captured what he taught us in a book that I think came out in 2020 called Embracing Succession, and I show you this today. He had me write one of the chapters about my own transition. So you'll find on pages 105 to 116, Cal's chapter in there. But if some of you want that book, we'll have them over in the bookstore as well. But as he was sharing with us, all of a sudden, I had this God moment in which I was overcome with the awareness that I was already climbing Pisgah. Like it wasn't out in front of me 5 or 10 years. I was already climbing that mountain. And I wept as it came clear to me that by no later than 63, I would be turning the church over to my successor. So here we are today. And I believe the first couple chapters of Joshua hold some powerful lessons for us when we're walking through transitions. I just want to look at those first couple of chapters throughout the next couple of weeks. And yes, there are lessons for us as individuals who will face our own transitions, but certainly lessons for us as a church, as God's people who want to honor him as we walk with him through transition. Each generation has an opportunity to be a part of a fresh work of God. Each generation has a promised land to claim for the kingdom. And each generation is ushered into the new era with a transition from the former era. Transitions in general are simply a part of the new thing God is doing with each generation. So in getting ready for next, we have to prepare to embrace the new day in front of us, because the reality is that new day will come whether we like it or not. Don't prepare for your death one day, but you're going to die one day. See? Whether you prepare or not. And how well we do with the new day will be determined by several key factors that I want to highlight today as like we're leaving the former day. Here's factor number one. We must healthily, key word, healthily release the former season. Moses has just died. The Israelites had stopped and grieved his death for 30 days. Now the time for mourning is over. And Joshua, the successor, will lead them into the promised land. That's how Deuteronomy ends. Now look at the first couple of verses of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them. Now here's the point I want you to see from those few verses. How healthily we move into a new day is determined by how healthily we release the old one. That's true for every transition, be it a transition to a new job, a new house, a new city, new pastor, or moving on after the death of a loved one. I cannot open my hands to receive what God wants to give me in this new day if I'm over here with both fists wrapped around what I don't want to leave in the old day. So when God says, Moses, my servant, is dead, he's saying, Joshua, it's time for a new season. It's time to let go of the former season. So how do we do that in a healthy way? Well, first, we grieve it. We grieve it. If we're going to release the past in a healthy way, we have to stop and grieve it. Gratefully, we're not grieving, as I said, my physical death, but this transition is going to feel like a death to some of you. I get that. We've been together for 32 years. It has felt like a death to me. It's just that I've known for a longer time that it was coming, and trust me, I've had plenty of times going down the road with the tears rolling down my face. So just know, if you feel like shedding tears over the next month, that's okay, that's normal. If some of you feel relieved that I'm finally leaving, that's okay too. I'm not gonna hold that against you. But grieving what we're leaving behind in transition is a normal part of the process, and it's actually a healthy way to move forward. And just like the people of God in Moses' day had to stop and grieve his transition, so it's appropriate that we grieve and remind ourselves, okay, that season is over. Whatever I feel about it, it's time to grieve it in a healthy way so that I can move on. And just as with physical death, once we've grieved our loss in a healthy way, we can then celebrate the good memories in an appropriate way. So we grieve it. At the same time, we celebrate it. We celebrate it. We thank God for the great things he did in the last season. Here at the end of Deuteronomy, the last thing mentioned, look at the last verse in the book of Deuteronomy as Moses has now moved off the scene, and the last thing mentioned about Moses are all the amazing signs and wonders the Lord did through him. And it's like the people reading that who would have been there were like, wow, praise God for all the amazing things he did in that last season under Moses' leadership. So many of my tears as this day has approached are tears of celebration, of actual wonder that God chose me and appointed me and gave me the incredible privilege of leading this church and seeing so many people come to Christ, so many lives transformed, forgiven, and set free. Tears rolling down my eyes. I'm watching some of those people sharing their testimony in that first video today. And Drew Kelly was one of the first people to come to Jesus. Drew's still a dear friend. We were on the phone for an hour and a half the other night. And you know, tears. Thank you, Lord. There have been so many other milestones to celebrate as I look back on 32 years at Northwoods. It's only right that we use transitions to celebrate the good things God did for us in the past and remind ourselves that He's not done doing great things. That too is one of the ways that we healthily resolve the former season. We grieve it, we celebrate it, and then we learn from it. That will largely happen on the backside of this month as we move forward. Transitions give us a great opportunity to learn from the last season. As Joshua steps into his role, he's reflecting on what he's learned from Moses. Jonathan, you know, calls me, Dad, what did you think about this? What would you do with this? There's going to be a lot of that going forward in the days. But there are also going to be things that Jonathan has watched me do that he'll say, note to self, don't do that. I think in Joshua's journal, he's remembering the time that Moses cracked that rock when God said, speak to it, and that's what cost him his chance to go into the promised land. I think if we could see Joshua's journal, there's note to self, stay emotionally healthy, you know? But we take inventory during transitions. It's a great time for the church to be asking as you move forward, what did we learn in the last season that we want to build upon in this season? Then too, what did we learn in the last season we might want to change or discard in this season? See, transitions are always a great moment to stop and ask, what's working well and what's not working well? What did we get right in the last season? What could have we done better? Where do we sense God's new direction for a new day? What is He saying to us in these days? See, so we grieve it, we celebrate it, and we learn from it so that we can healthily release it. We want to move with God into the new day rather than get stuck in the past, unable to move on. So, you know, we say yes to Him. We open our hands to receive the new, even as we're letting go of the old. Years ago, I read about a guy who lived his life in depression and despair, unable to move on because of a high school girlfriend who had broken his heart. And now here he is in his late 30s, 15 years later, 20 years later, he's kept a picture of her in his wallet. And every time he sees the picture, the memories released by that picture just suck him back into despair and regret and depression. And guys, this is what happens when we get emotional snags in our souls. It's like we have a picture in our mind of something that was so ideal in the past that we're left clutching and holding on to it. We keep going back to those places and getting sucked into what used to be or what we wish could be, and we end up stuck in depression, defeat, despair, when all the time God is saying, come on, give me that picture. I have a new day waiting for you. He wants to paint the picture he wants you focused on is not the past. You can celebrate that when you look at it, but the picture he wants you focused on is what does this next look like? See? So he says, give me the picture. I have a new day waiting for you if you'll embrace it. And in order to do that, we have to bring healthy resolve to the past by grieving it, celebrating, learning from it, and finally releasing it. Moses, my servant, is dead. That's God's way of saying, okay, church, now it's time to move forward. Because while Moses may be dead, my purpose for you still goes on. So God says in verse 2, now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. That's factor number 2. All right? We must boldly embrace the new season. We have to healthily release the former season, then we boldly embrace the new season. In order to move into a new day, we release, then we embrace. Look what he says. Moses, my servant, is dead. That's release the past. Now then, stop. I want you to see it. How many of you know that our God is a now God? See, get stuck in the past and it leads to depression. Get out in the future with all the unknowns and what ifs and it leads to worry and anxiety. That's why God says stay focused on the now moment, because that is always where I'm at work and that is always where you will find my presence. Now then. So what does God want me to be doing right now? How do I healthily embrace this new season? He says to Joshua, you and all these people get ready. See, I embrace the new season by readying myself for what God is about to do. It's searching my own heart and making sure that I'm not grieving, quenching, or resisting the Spirit in any way, but I'm walking with a pure heart before God. It's bringing a faith-filled heart concerning the opportunities around us and asking questions like, what do we believe God is about to do? It's releasing faith-filled imagination over our church and asking, what would it look like if we believed our next days were our best days? If we believe God yet has hundreds of people in the Peoria area and beyond who need the life and the freedom held out in the gospel. If we believe that our church was going to baptize more people in the next 5 years than we've ever baptized in any five-year period. You sit down and ask him, God, what are you about to do? God, what would you like to do? What's the promised land you want us to claim for the kingdom in the next season? Now, obviously, that new day began for the Israelites with that generation identifying a new leader for the new day, and they found that in Joshua. When I made my decision 3.5 years ago in that room at Miracle Camp, we did not yet know who our Joshua would be, but as the elders did their work over the next couple of years, they landed on my son, John, and I can tell you God has shaped him into a bold, faith-filled, Spirit-led man of God with fresh vision and a heart for reaching this community and generation that needs Christ, and John is ready. Now, in two weeks, we're going to have a special service in which we'll officially commission Pastor John as our new leader. So I'm just saying, let's pack this place as an encouragement to him and as a sign of your readiness to embrace the new day God has for us. But let me add as well, embracing the new season also means dreaming with God about the kinds of ministries and new ministry initiatives we might need to undertake in reaching people for Christ in this new generation. Guys, hear me. And I promise you, I'm speaking from my heart. I'm under no illusion that some of the ministries I initiated and led during my time at Northwoods might have to change in order to reach the next generation. I have taken my hands off. And I've given them permission to, John, you change anything you need to change as the Spirit leads you. You're not going to hear me hanging on and saying, why are you changing that? And that's my word to all of us, 55 and above. 55, you're at the speed limit. 55 and above, what I call former generation folks, I want to say to you, take your hands off. Just because God used that ministry yesterday doesn't mean that this new generation needs to do it the same way until Jesus comes again. And so that's a word. I'm glad I'm going to still be in the house because I'm going to be watching for that. And if you former generation people start making it tough on the young generation, you're going to get a word from daddy in the house. And then embracing the new season means asking this question. At whatever age we may be, because our time changes, our age changes, the weight we can carry changes. But here's the question for all of us. God, in this current season of my life, right now, with my time, my gifts, my resources, my energy, my experience, etc., how do you best want to use me to make the greatest impact for your kingdom I can make at this season? Dare you to ask him that, because he would love to use you. I always say, if you have a pulse, you have a purpose. So get ready now for how God wants to use you in this next season. If you're going to embrace his new day, you've got to release the former season. Moses, my servant, is dead. You've got to embrace the new season. Now then, get ready. And then finally, factor number three is we must confidently reclaim God's promises for every season. So he assures Joshua in verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. In verse 4, he explains the dimensions of that territory. And then he says in verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Guys, if we're going to embrace the new day that God wants to release, we ultimately need to reclaim the promises of God for our day. These promises weren't just for Moses and Joshua. They're ours to claim for our day. Oh, I have miracles to tell you about. What God did under my leadership over the past 32 years as we took ground for the kingdom of God. Guys, when I leave here on March 27th, it will mark 11,690 days since I began this journey on March 25th, 1990. Acts 2 and verse 47 records of the early church that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And by the grace of God, what an amazing thing to be able to say that we've lived that in our day. That after 11,690 days of Northwood's history, we've seen a conservative estimate of around 20,000 people come to Christ. Guys, that's better than one a day. I will continue to tell those stories to the next generation, but not so they can celebrate my stories, but so that they'll believe God for their own stories in their generation. See, my son John and this generation have land of their own to claim. And so they can't be satisfied with my miracles. They need to seek God for themselves and claim the promises of God for their day. See, so when God says, I will be with you, I will never leave you or forsake you, guys, that is a New Testament promise for every child of God found in Matthew 28, 20. I will be with you to the end of the age. And Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave you or forsake you. But it wasn't given so we could sit around and feel good while doing nothing to advance the kingdom. It's directly related, those promises are directly related and directly released as we advance the kingdom. Where is it that you feel you need to set your foot and take ground for the kingdom of God? God is saying, as you set yourself to take the land I want to give you, I will be there and I will back it up with manifestations of my presence. And so while I thank God for the manifestations in my day, I can tell you this, he's got more miracles to pour out in the days ahead. The Bible tells us that God released miracles through Joshua so that the people would know that the same God who had led them in the former generation under Moses was still at work in the new generation under Joshua. And I'm telling you that God is going to release miracles under John's leadership so that you'll know that the same God who led Northwoods in the last generation under Pastor Cal is still continuing his mighty work in this generation under Pastor John. In fact, I'm just going to steal one of John's stories already. And it's not lost on me that this kind of stuff happens in transition. Not only to encourage him, but to encourage the church to understand. I'm going to drop out miracles that will be amazing to you. This past October 31st, John was preaching on honor your father and mother as we were making our way through the Ten Commandments. And he actually encouraged people to do that, even if they grew up in bad situations, or maybe some people never knew who their father or mother was. You know, sometimes it's not a marriage situation, and dad takes off, it's not a part of it, all that type of thing. And sitting here that day was a young lady in her 40s who had never met her father. because of that kind of situation. Don't think he'd ever married her mother. He took off before she was ever born, and she had never met him. So she was sitting here asking the Lord, what does that mean for me? And she actually prayed in her heart that day, because you just need to know. Sometimes if you can just forgive the person that you don't even know, that's honoring. Sometimes you just say, Lord, I'm still grateful to be alive, so thank you for the person who brought me to life, even though I don't know who that is. But she was just saying, Lord, you know in my heart, though I don't know who he is, I want to honor my father today. Guys, we got an email just a day later. She said 15 minutes after praying that prayer and walking out of here, she was in a restaurant when her phone rang, and she happened to answer a number she didn't know, and it was her birth father calling her for the first time in her life. And when we got that note from her, John looked at me and said, Dad, that's God. And I said, yeah, that's God. Now, just recently, she sent another note this week. And with her permission, I share this today. She said, Hi, Pastor John. I just wanted to give you a little update on my birth father. We met this past weekend, which would have just been a week ago. He traveled from New York for this meeting. It was so, so awesome. He just felt so incredibly familiar. I was beside myself with emotion. We will stay in close communication, and I hope to travel to New York to see him this summer. I just wanted to thank you again for your message last October 31st on honoring your parents. It was truly, truly life-changing for me. God is so good. P.S. At 47, I got my very first family picture. Come on, Northwoods. You got to give it up for Nikki over here on the left. That unbelievable? Wow. It's already started. This church is going to continue to see amazing miracles of God's grace in the next season under John's leadership. So trust the promises. Speak them and declare them over this next season. Stay focused on the broken world people around us who need Jesus. Because, guys, only one thing makes heaven rejoice, and that's when the lost are found. Luke 15, heaven celebrates. And you keep depending on the power of the Holy Spirit for God's supernatural anointing and favor for manifestations of his presence among you. You know what I think would be cool this week, just as a simple application of this message as we prepare for next, is if we would just take this promise of his presence and his readiness to give us all the places our feet walk as an invitation, and this week walk our streets and our neighborhoods, walk whatever areas God puts on your heart, take your walk and pray for those in each house, those who need Jesus to meet him, those who need healing to receive his touch, those who need encouragement to find it. Just get out into the streets and declare the promises of God and claim your neighborhood for the kingdom of God in this next season. Release his promises for this next season wherever you walk. This transition is bringing a new season. A different leader, but the same God. A different leader, but the same purpose. A different leader, but the same promises. And getting ready for next. Guys, let's healthily release the last season. Boldly embrace the new season. But over it all, let's reclaim the promises of God for every season. Amen. Now it's my privilege to lead you one more time as your senior pastor in taking communion. And so I want you to just grab the elements if you brought them in today. Guys, may we always remember Jesus. Would you just bow your head and your heart? And I'm assuming that if you have a communion cup today, you're one who can say, I'm a follower of Jesus. If you've got the communion cup, but you're not sure you're a follower, maybe make that sure right now by saying, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. But as you pray right now, would you just thank Jesus, go back to that day when he reached into your heart and called you to belong to himself? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for changing my life. And as you're doing that, I want you to thank him again that it was your body broken for me, Lord, that has made all the difference. It's your blood poured out for me that has washed me, has freed me, has guaranteed me heaven. The Bible says on that night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had broke it, he said, "This is my body broken for you. As oft as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake today again, just quietly in your heart, thanking him for the strength, the healing, the hope that his broken body has brought to your life. And then after supper, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood given for the remission of sins. As oft as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." As you drink today, just in your heart, will you let him know, "Father, thank you that your blood not only has canceled the consequences of my sin, freed me from the power of sin, but guarantees me the overcoming of sin and a place in heaven one day. It's by this blood that we will know victory in the next season as we take on and see the enemy defeated by the blood of the Lamb." Let's partake together. So, Father, I pray, may we never forget as a church, grounded in the authority of the Word of God, surrounded together, coming together around our worship of the divine Son of God. May we never, ever forget it's through the body and the blood of Jesus that we have triumphed. And may that be true as it was in the last generation. May that be true in the days going forward, that we may see many, many, many more thousands come to know Jesus Christ, who gave himself for them. We pray this in Jesus' name. I want you to get on your feet right now. We're going to make a declaration as we go out of here, all right? I only know how to do this. The next 3 weeks, we're just going to make declarations as we leave, all right? And so, you know, as I lead you, I want to hear full-throated, all right? Let's go. Here it is. In Jesus' name, I thank you, God, that as you were with us in the last season, you will be with us in the new season. Today we boldly confess the promise of your presence and your mighty power over the new day in front of us. In Jesus' name. Now come on, give him a clap off. He's going to take you there. Guys, God bless you. Have a great week. We want to see you back next week as we continue getting ready for next. Have a great one, all right? Those of you watching online, thank you for being with us today. And just, again, enjoy our online family and for how many times we receive encouragement from you. I pray you'll be encouraged to trust God for whatever transitions you're going through. God bless you. Have a great week.
Well, what a powerful message from Pastor Cal as he's in this series in March, as he's closing out his time with us. And I am so ready to grab that baton and continue running this race that he has started and what God has started in our church.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what's awesome about that is the fact that we've had such great leadership all the way up until this point. And we don't have to be afraid of what's to come, right? We can be grateful and we can look ahead with confidence because of the leadership that we've had and leadership we will continue to have. Yes. So I just love that. That was such an encouraging message. And again, we've got so many awesome things happening to honor that leadership that we have had over these last 32 years. So if you have any interest at all in, again, joining in those specific celebrations for Pastor Cal, hey, come check it out. Check out the website and find the information, everything you need to know and more as to how you can come and join us for each of those.
Now, something that's very important to remember is that on March 20th and March 27th, those two Sundays, we will have one service at 10 a.m.
That's right.
So put that on your calendar. Make sure you tell your friends, invite people to come as we commission Pastor John in taking the helm of this ship, and we celebrate Pastor Cal as he heads off into the next chapter of his ministry career.
That's right.
And we're excited, and we hope to see you back here next Sunday. Have a great week, and we love you guys.